So for 3 years, we've asked the wrong question. It's always been something like, oh, what can a model do? Or how many tokens does it cost? Or how long's the context? How high's the benchmark, right? All those questions are good questions. And we did that for 3 years and it was pretty good, right? We had life was great in the AI world. But then this week, two things happened. In the same calendar month and different cities, but pretty big things, nonetheless. And that, you know, kind of retired that question or those questions that we asked, replaced it with some harder ones. And now it's not what can it do, but it's what does it stand on? Who controls the ground? Now, I know you didn't think I was going to go there. You had no inkling. But just stay with me. I think you'll see what I'm talking about. I'm Dr. Alan Badeau. This is AI Today. And this week, we are dropping the story another layer. Because here are the two events. And when you hold them side by side, it's going to be important. Because we're going to be living in the space between them for the foreseeable future. And so the first one happened at FERC. FERC is the, yes, I know, go ahead, send the emails, but FERC is the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. And on June 18th, FERC issued what is called a show cause order to their 6 regional operators that run the power grid, except for Texas. And they run their own, right? And I would imagine they'll get something similar inside of Texas. And the order is, though, it's pretty blunt. And it tells each operator, defend the way you connect large customers to the grid. Or change it. And they want to do it fast, right? So that AI data centers can plug in faster. Whoa. So the chair is Laura Sweat, and she called it a national priority. Again, FERC issued an order to see how quickly large customers can plug into the grid with AI data centers. And so the body that governs the American power grid just named AI compute a national priority. And they reach for an emergency lever to clear the path. And that is pretty unusual. Now, the second one happened on June 9th, right? And it was around Anthropic. And they shipped 2 new systems, right? The first one was Fable 5. Yes, it's gone for right now. And underneath it was, you know, Mythos 5, which got a lot of flack, right, though, because expense, a lot of tokens to run it. People couldn't run through their whole thing, whatever. Very powerful, though, right? But then 3 days later, on the evening of June 12th, the U.S. government issued an export control directive. And that was almost 11 days ago, right? But both models are still not available anymore. So now, you know, on the surface, they're not related, right? But, you know, one's about electricity, one's about software. One's about an energy regulator clearing the path, the other, a national security agency closing one. But if you think about it, they really rhyme because neither of them is a story about a model. You know, FERC, it's really about what the model eats. Electrons, megawatts, you know, a place in the interconnection queue, right? And the export story is about a model that needs that in order to exist and to come to you at all. And that's really, you know, permission. And it's, you know, a government's standing decision not to turn it off. And so for 3 years, we've been staring at the top of the stack. We've touched on it a little bit with the grid and the power and stuff, and the models and the chat windows and the benchmarks we've talked about, and the well, we've looked up really the real leverage moved down and down to the grid that powers it. And we've talked about, the AI math not really adding up, but now we're going to talk about down to the authority that permits it. Power and permission and the substrate. So here's why that matters to you, though, because I want you to understand this. Whether you are running a hospital, a bank, a defense program, a small business, that's just started routing your emails through AI last quarter, right? And whatever that email AI provider is, right? You don't own the substrate. You rent it. We all do. You rent your electrons from a utility and a queue you've never thought about. You rent your permission from a vendor who rents it from a government. Interesting. Guess what? This week, both landlords moved. And it's getting expensive. And so, as we've felt some of that pain, as we've seen that, some significantly more than others. In some cases, some vendors have switched business models already, right? But that's what we're going to talk about this hour. We've got two segments, two substrates. First, the grid and why the binding constraint on AI is no longer chips or talent. It's power, it's electricity. And what does it mean when a regulator just hit the fast forward button? Whew, boy. And then we've got the kill switch. The first time the American government used export control authorities to pull a commercial model off the market for everyone. And the precedent that sets for every system that you depend on. And then we'll close, on the part that doesn't get easier no matter how the technology moves. And that's accountability. The one thing this whole stack that does not have an off switch. It's crazy. There's a lot of things that are happening on the periphery of AI that are becoming more impactful on everyday citizens trying to use these tools. It's tough to democratize these tools if you still are doing things the old way, meaning just using large language models, because not only have you started to see the difficulties in applying it to a greater space, you also see some of the cost ramifications that are coming from that. You also see that you are less in control than you thought you were. And that's really, really, really scary for a lot of businesses. And we're going to dive into that. So stay with us. We'll be back after a few messages from our sponsors. Let me give you the diagnostic up front and then the evidence. It's easier that way, right? For most of this boom, we have talked about AI scarcity in two currencies, chips and GPUs, and then the talent, right? Which is about getting the people. Both are real. Both increasingly not the thing that's actually stopping projects anymore. The thing that's stopping projects now is a number measured in megawatts and a weight measured in years. You can buy the chips now. Granted, if you're using a cloud provider, maybe you can't get them as rapidly as you want, but you get them. You can hire the team too. It may take you a little bit longer, but you can get them. But then you discover you can't get them connected to enough electricity to turn them on. Compute is downstream of the electrons. That's the whole story. They're building data centers faster and faster. They just announced they're going to build the largest, data center outside of Cincinnati, Ohio, and that's going to be almost 3 or 4 times bigger than the largest one today. Chips, talent, and power. Guess what? That constraint's that's moved. Now, here's what FERC though actually did in on June 18th in plain terms, right? It used the section of the Federal Power Act, section 206, and they use it to issue what's called a show cause order to the six regional grid operators. Now, a show cause order is exactly what it sounds like, okay? It says, show cause. Justify the rules you have for connecting large new loads to the grid. Or you better propose some new ones. And guess what? You're doing it on the clock. The specific large load it names is AI data centers. Now, we've known the math doesn't add up. We're projecting things and we're saying things that are going to require so much power that we're just, you can't do one without the other. And if the other's not there, you're not doing either of them. Now, why though does the mechanism matter in how FERC did this? Because of how regulators normally move. The normal way is to change a rule like this via a process, and they have that notice of proposed rulemaking. It's deliberate, it's open to comment, and it takes years. FERC just skipped it. They just said, no, see you later. We're getting in the express lane. That's pretty good. The show cause order is a targeted instrument that can move in weeks, not years, weeks. When a regulator reaches past its slow, careful process and picks up and goes to the fast lane, that tells you something. It tells you that people in charge believe the cost of waiting is now higher than the cost of moving fast. And it didn't come from nowhere, right? It traces back to, the Energy Department and what, Chris, Secretary Chris Wright was doing, and that's to accelerate grid interconnection for AI infrastructure. It's just that simple. So this policy is really catching up to a decision that was already made. And that's get the power to the compute, and you better do it now. Now, here's the tension I want you to think about, okay? I want you to stew over it for a little bit because it's not a clean win. The grid does three things at once, and they fight each other. It connects new customers, stays reliable, so the lights stay on, right? And it controls cost. That's your bill. Speed, reliability, and cost. Oh, our triangle is back. Yes, it is. And now you can optimize for any two. You cannot maximize all three. It doesn't work that way, right? And so the FERC order asked the operators to connect AI loads faster while maintaining reliability and controlling consumer cost, which is to say, it asked for all three at once. It's not going to get all three at once. No one ever does. You try, you can't. And so the real question over the next year, what corner of that triangle is going to give? If reliability gives, you get brownouts in regions where data centers could potentially cluster. If costs give, the bill lands on the ratepayer, on you, your neighbors, to subsidize the connection of a hyperscale facility. Watch what corner gives, because that's the story under the story that we're going to have to look at. So what do you do with this? If you're not a utility and if you're an operator buying or building AI, going to be interesting. You can do three things, really. One, power is now a first-class procurement risk, and you should model it like one. For years, we have talked about, the line item that killed AI projects was the model contract, right? Now it can be the interconnection queue. How long do you got to wait to get up and running? How long is it going to take for you to bump up your compute and be able to scale? If your roadmap assumes a capacity that depends on a grid connection that nobody has secured already, your roadmap has a hole in it. You cannot scale as quick as you want. If you're trying to expand your capability and do things from a code perspective that you haven't done, and you don't have the compute to support that, that's a hole in your roadmap. And so ask the question early, where do my electrons come from? And who's ahead of me in line? We all have been in line where you're hoping that last piece of pizza isn't going to be taken by the person in front of you. Well, guess what? It's probably going to be taken. And so you got to plan for it. Okay. Now, the second thing, location stopped being a facilities decision and became a strategic decision. Where's the power? How much does it cost? And there's probably capability that's going to follow. The organizations that win the next phase are not going to be the ones with the cleverest models. It's just not. Everyone can rent similar models now. You've got to come up with other things to do, other compute capacity, other mechanisms that you can calculate things that are not going to cause the meter to run. We are the ones that are going to be able to run at the same power and cooling and everything else, while the queue position, everyone else is arguing benchmarks. Again, trying to solve problems that large language models aren't meant to solve. Now, the third thing, and this is one I care a lot about too, right? Because it's where we live here at DigitalNet. And that's the more that the grid becomes contested, regulated, a rationed resource from an AI perspective, the more value it is to control your own footprint. And I'm not talking about just your data center footprint anymore. It's, are my models the right sized? Are the problems I'm solving with the capabilities I have right sized? Do they scale to the enterprise level without keeping the meter running? Well, that large language model is burning some expensive numerical methods. How you secure those, how those come into play, what's that capacity? Are you renting it? Are you not renting it? When the substrate becomes scarce, owning a piece of it stops being old-fashioned and you start having leverage. That is what we have. So we spent 3 years treating intelligence as something that lived in software. Waitlist, copyable, infinite, right? These models are always going to be there. They're only going to get better. Well, this week, a federal regulator reminded us that it lives in a building and it's drawing power off the wire and everybody's waiting in line. The most advanced cognitive systems on Earth, if they still rely on large language models only, then your queue just got a lot longer. And the cost went through the roof. The grid's always been there, right? But we've just never had to look at it that way. Now, if you were in high performance computing or some of those other areas, then this is a normal discussion we've had for a long time. Now, the grid is becoming a bottleneck for AI too. And if you weren't ready for that, you got a sticker shock. Hopefully, you're watching this show and you've been paying attention because you're much more prepared. So, the power, okay? Coming up, we're going to talk about the permission. The week the government proved it could reach into a market and switch the model off for everyone. So stay with us, we'll be right back. So let me tell you what happened in order, because for once the sequence is the point. And then I'll just tell you why it's bigger than the company that it happened to. Okay. So I mentioned in the show opener on, June 9th, Anthropic shipped out two models, Fable 5, one meant for the public, and underneath it was Mythos 5. That's a much more capable system, right? It's the one that we saw cybersecurity, the one that we saw a amateur hacker get into three systems without blinking an eye. Really the one that a lot of capabilities, were supposed to be safeguarded and walled off, those kind of things, right? For that. Now, on June 12th, Friday evening, a bunch of us all of a sudden got a notice that said, Fable 5 is not available anymore. It's 5:21 p.m. I wrote it down. The Commerce Department, they issued an export control directive, and it ordered Anthropic to suspend access for both models for any foreign national. And if you read the scope carefully, any foreign national, whether they're outside the US or inside the US, including the company's own non-citizen employees. So they treated them like a defense contractor almost. That creates an engineering problem, doesn't it? You can't reliably check the citizenship of every user on every cloud in real time. It can't be done cleanly unless you've interviewed everybody. So when you're faced with an order and you're Anthropic and you couldn't selectively comply with it, Anthropic did the only thing that it could do to be compliant. They turned both models off for everyone worldwide. Not throttled, not geofenced, off. So, a model that had been serving customers across finance, health, critical infrastructure went dark at dinner time on Friday because the letter arrived at 5:21 p.m., like I said. And the other Claude models, the older ones, they kept running. So it was pretty surgical. It wasn't aimed at the company. Was aimed at the capability. Now, over this last week, it was a jailbreak, right? That someone had found a clever prompt that allowed it to, do certain parlor tricks, right? And the government overreacted is what a lot of folks have been reporting. But then on June 21st, the real reason just happened to walk into a Senate Intelligence Committee hearing. The director of NSA, who also runs Cyber Command, testified about a classified red team exercise. In that exercise, Mythos was pointed at NSA's own classified systems, and it broke nearly all of them autonomously in hours. Now you understand, like our Atlas, what we're doing on the other side to defend it, right? Using very similar models. But it broke it in hours. Now, folks have, I've, always been a little bit crazy to a lot of people, right? And my record is pretty strong when it comes to these types of events and building systems to try to help prevent them. Hence Atlas, hence Janus, hence the democratization of what AI and doing things that nobody else is doing. But it changes fundamentally how things should be looked at. A jailbreak is a prompt. You patch it, you ship the fix, and you move on. What was described in the hearing is not a prompt. It's a capability. It's something that the model can do because of what it is, not because somebody tricked it. And you can't patch what a thing is. It's like with Atlas. When Atlas goes in, it's got a whole bunch of different things that it's looking at. It's hunting, it's doing things, and it's using some, those things as trainers for the back end, really trying to cycle the hardness. With Janus, it's about developing quick and giving perspective and optimizing and picking the right one. Those are capabilities. You can't patch those. Mythos can't patch either. And that's the line, though, now that the whole debate sits on. And I think it's worth stating, though, from both sides fairly, because reasonable people can still land in different places with this. There's nothing wrong with that. We always have different opinions, right? It's okay. On one side, including Anthropic, they make an incremental risk argument. And theirs is really around whatever Mythos can do. Comparable models can already do. Now we've proved with Atlas that there are a lot of things that we can defend and a lot of things that we can do, and it's been like that for a year. So in some ways I agree very strongly with what Anthropic is saying. However, controlling though this really kind of, it denies determined, adversary almost nothing. So while it imposes real costs on an American company and the allies who really relied on it, but the action I think is really a misunderstanding over a narrower issue. And the costs outweighs the protection. Now, the other side, though, makes we make the capability argument. And it's like, it doesn't matter what else exists around it, right? Because if the system in a controlled test can autonomously defeat the classified defenses of the NSA, right? Then that capability is sensitive on its own terms. And the job of an export control is to keep it from proliferating. Full stop. Just that simple. Now, I know this is something that many of you haven't seen or haven't had to deal with in the past. And it was something I always were, you know, was very conscious about, was working overseas and trying to do AI overseas and, you know, helping certain countries out and what they were working on. It's always been something at the forefront. And we've never had a great definition of what constitutes export control and what needs it until we realize it needs it. It's kind of been that way for many years. And, you know, I can't resolve that discussion tonight. And I'd be really suspicious of anyone who claims that it's obvious, because it's not. Both arguments are really serious. But notice what the argument is about. It's not about a bug. It's about whether a privately built piece of software became a weapon. And who gets to decide? We've talked about cyber for many years. Cyber Command got stood up because cyber, it was a weapon. Things that you could do. Well, the novel thing this week wasn't the model. It was the instrument. And the government reached into the open market and switched it off. And they didn't switch off something that only had a few hundred users. They switched off something that had hundreds of millions of users around the world using that, you know, export control authority that they have. And it's, by the way, it's the same legal family of authority that the U.S. uses to control munitions, as well as chips, advanced chips, GPUs. Now, that tool it's been used in the past, right? And the precedent exists. And precedents, though, once they get set, they get used again. We know that. So when you look at your own technology stack, you've got to ask the uncomfortable question. The models that you depend on, do you control them or are you renting them? Because what this week really proved is that rented access can be revoked. And it doesn't have to be by the vendor. And it can be for no business reason. It can be by a third party, the U.S. government. For a national security reason, you will never be briefed on. And at 5:21 p.m. on a Friday, with no notice at all, there's a kill switch that comes out and knocks it off. Now, think about the impacts to the business. Think about the issues and the gut punch that you felt from enterprises this week. Most of the contracts governing these dependencies, whether it's the data processing, the service agreements, whatever those are, they lean really on that vague force majeure language, right? X of God, compliance with the law, stuff like that. None of them contemplated an instantaneous government mandated stand down. No. And guess what? The clauses didn't price that in either, did they? So thousands of organizations discovered all at once, all at the same time, that their continuity plan for their most important AI dependency was a sentence written by a lawyer who never imagined this could happen. This is a compliance and a resilience territory that is going to be new to a lot of people. It's the work that we do every day on Atlas. So let me be a little bit more concrete even, because there's really three things you can do. Again, you can map your model dependencies on, you know, the same way that you map supply chain. Okay. That's what we do. We look at capabilities in our business and what happens if one vendor goes dark, because we've seen consolidation. So we've been preparing for that. if the answer is most of them, you've got a single point of failure in your suit of armor and you're in trouble. Okay, so diversify. The second one, you've got to reprice optionality. Okay, open weight and self-hosted models, they took a victory lap this week. And guess what? I was driving the pace car. Not because they're more capable, but because they can't be switched off from the outside. A model you can run yourself, you build yourself, you train yourself. Guess what? You jumped in the express lane. That's worth something now. And then three, continuity planning for AI. That is not a tabletop exercise anymore. You got to come into the real world. Vendor standoff procedures, failover paths, data retention that were under suspicion before. Oh, it's in the cloud, it'll be fine. Well, guess what? These need to be in the contract. And it's got to be in plain language because we're going to have more Fridays at 5:21, not less. And it better be there first. So when we come back, the one thing in all of this that nobody can switch off. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to AI Today. I'm your host, Dr. Alan Badeau, and two stories really this week. And we're going to put them back together because they were really never two. So a regulator moved on in power, a government moved on permission. Both of those moves, same place. Underneath the model, the substrate, right? 3 years. We spent not asking those questions, but preparing for it just in case. And, you know, we've always known, and I've known because of high performance computing, like I said, there's a queue. Sometimes you got to wait. Sometimes a system's not available. They get a brand new system, everybody loves it, they want it, right? Sometimes you got to wait. You can be throttled. If you are put in a queue, what do? There's nothing in your code base necessarily that answers that. The government can revoke you. They can pull a capability right off the market. And it can be done on a Friday evening, long weekend. What's your continuity plan? Turns out it's a hope and a prayer. You better be listening to some Bon Jovi because you are living on a prayer. And when you put power and permission together with two landlords that you are renting from, that is a hope. You hope nothing goes wrong. Now, regular viewers of the show, you know, I have been talking about the line. We keep coming back to the show. We're looking at it from a whole bunch of different perspectives. But our whole thesis is about how I think about these systems. Cognitive agents own the reasoning. We say that all the time. And they own the synthesis. Humans retain the accountability for the action. The machine can think. The humans have to answer for what gets done. Very simple, very simple. This week, though, tested the second half of that sentence, I'll tell you. In a way I didn't think would happen this quick. Because there's nothing about accountability that the grid and the government just made impossible to ignore. And that, you know, your access can be suspended. Your accountability can't be. That's not a comfortable feeling. So if you think about what that actually means, that for the people that got caught this week, that didn't have a failover, that had bet so much on Fable 5 or whatever that was, or, you know, the issues. The hospital that built a workflow on a model that went dark on Friday, the model's access was revoked. the hospital's responsibility to the patients didn't stop. The bank, whose fraud system depended on a capability that got switched off, capability left. The obligation to the customer stayed. The grid can take your power. The state can take your permission. But neither of them takes the thing that you're actually on the hook for. That stays with you. It always stays with you. Now, I think, there's a quiet lesson in a really strange week. We have been building as if the capability was an asset, as if owning the smartest model or the most compute, that was the point. But if you ignore the past, you're going to repeat it. And this week, guess what? The smartest models in the world proved revocable. The compute proved rationable. The only thing that didn't move, the only thing that nobody could switch off, was the responsibility sitting with the human that deployed it. Let that sink in for a minute. So let me leave you with the discipline that I try to build by, how we design things. And again, three things, triangles, right? And they map exactly to this week. It's very interesting. But build for power, of course, you can secure that, not capacity you assume is going to be there when you flip the switch. Okay? You cannot build like that. Build for permission that you can depend. And by that it means you've got to really favor what you can run, what you can stand behind yourself, because anything else can be taken away from you by a decision that you are not part of. And can surprise you anytime. And you've got to build for accountability you never outsource. Because that really is the one layer of this stack that never, can be revoked. It's always yours. If you're building them, it's always yours. The model layer, well, let's face it, that's where the excitement lives. It's always been there. High performance computing, computational fluid dynamics, all that software, those kind of things. Oh, it's exciting to build new models. But guess what? The substrate is where the power lives. Accountability is where you live. And that's the floor underneath all of it. And that's the one place no letter reaches and no queue can delay. And the grid can go dark. The permissions, they can be pulled at any time. But the answer to who is responsible, it's not plugged into anything now. It doesn't have an off switch. That's what I want you to remember. You can't make excuses if you're not planning the right way, if you don't have contingency plans, if you're not looking at these things on the long term. And I know it's hard if you just started and you bet a lot on Fable 5. Hopefully, you were able to recover very quickly. But think about that. You ultimately own the responsibility. You are accountable. Your customers, they don't care. They only care that their, contract is being held up. I'm Dr. Alan Badeau. This has been AI Today. I want you to build for the layer that they cannot take, and then you're going to be successful. We'll see you next week.